Finish this chapter up today and give an introduction to chapter 13. So that's what we're going to shoot for, and then we'll stop. All right, we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this place that we can come to, Lord, and worship you. And Lord, many times people have to be out in the elements and to preach and to teach and that could be the case today, Lord. And we pray that you would just give good weather and to those that have to do that. And pray that we wouldn't take for granted the things that we have here in this country. And Father, now we pray for the messages this morning, that you would just bless your words and help us, Lord, to do our part and have open eyes and open ears and a good heart just to receive them. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. Verse 46. That's where we ended off, and we'll start there. The Bible says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Now, if we read this verse, what is our assumption? What is our first assumption here? That Jesus is talking to his earthly mother, right? He's talking about his earthly mother. The Bible is talking about his earthly mother. While he yet spake to the people, behold, his, that's Jesus' mother, right? His mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Now, if the Bible is talking about his earthly mother, Mary, right? And in the same verse, it mentions his brethren. Then the verse must be talking about his earthly brothers. I mean, that would be the assumption that we should be able to get from that verse. Because that's the context. The context of that verse is, it's Jesus's, it's his family. It's his personal family here on earth. And so that destroys man's ideas, especially in the Catholic Church, about the perpetual virginity of Mary. And if this verse wasn't enough, folks, let's go to Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 25. And we'll see what it says there. If that's not enough to destroy man's ideas about the perpetual virginity of Mary, then we'll go to another one. And we'll see if your heart is right to receive that, or if people's hearts are right to receive that, right? And the Bible says, Matthew 1:25, it says, we'll start off in verse 24 or 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. So we can gather that there's going to be a virgin that brings forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Right? And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn. Okay? That firstborn would be Jesus. Her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, out of that verse, folks, the implications are, is that if there's a firstborn, then there's going to be a secondborn, right? And so we can gather those details out of that verse and make an assumption. But if that wasn't enough, not only can we make the assumption here that there's going to be a second born, go with me if you would to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Verse 8. We'll start in verse 7. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. Now, isn't that something? He's talking about Jesus Christ there. And his mother has children, right? Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit knew Jesus was going to have brothers, and that's why that's in the Bible. And it's predicted way in the Old Testament. It's predicted way in the Old Testament. And if that's not enough, folks, okay, we'll go to one more. And I know all of us in here believe that's not true, the perpetual virginity of Mary is not true, but you never know. There could be somebody that listens to this somewhere down the road or something, and they may get, they may never have seen these verses. So that's why we're going to go through them. Mark 6:3. Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Okay, they go on and name his brothers. Okay, so now it's clear. If you have a problem, if people have problems with that, the problem isn't, it's with God. It's with the Word of God. It's with their heart. All right, because it's very clear Jesus had brothers and sisters. The Catholic Church teaches, they teach lies, folks. Okay, when they teach the perpetual virginity of Mary. That's a lie. It's based upon nothing but their vain imaginations. And the Bible says we're to cast those down. All right? And it's blasphemous for somebody to say that. And it's just a plain lie. And sadly, folks, sadly, the people fall prey. Lots of people fall prey to this lie because they're too lazy to search it out for themselves. And that's what makes a good Catholic. A good Catholic person is a lazy person. Because they won't go and do anything for themselves. They want everybody else to do it for them. Yeah. Yeah. And they're just lazy. They don't want to search it out. And there's a lot of so-called Bible believers that don't want to search the Bible out for certain things. And it's not just limited to one church. It's all over the world in every church. Yes, go ahead. Yeah. Right. And what happens when you don't search it out for yourself? You fall prey to those lies. So, verse 47. The Bible says, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Now notice what's going on here, folks. Jesus is speaking to the people. But his mother and his brothers, they're standing outside. It looks like he's in a house. Verse 13 says he comes out of the house. Jesus came out of the house. So it looks like he's in a house. And I don't know why they're standing outside. All right? But we're going to go into some reasons of what could be the reason why they're out there. But they're standing outside, and they're not inside. They're not inside that house. They're not there. It doesn't seem like they're there to hear Jesus. Right? What did we just read in Psalm? What was it? Psalm 69. Psalms, Proverbs, Psalm 69. verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Look at what his mother and his children are doing. They're standing outside of the house. They're not there to hear Jesus, but they want to speak to him. They want to speak to him. And that goes to show you that when somebody has an advantage to converse with somebody on a day-to-day basis, frequently and in private, they're less likely, folks, to attend that person's public speaking or preaching or teaching, right? We've heard it all before. We don't want to hear him again. We got to hear enough of him. We don't like his voice as it is. And so they're less likely to attend these things. They're less likely, and so that those are the people that are nearest to you. I mean, I'll tell you what, I haven't seen hardly anybody here from my family. Right? But when you think about that and you read about Jesus, this is God. And his own family isn't even there to hear him speak. They should have been the first ones in the row, in my opinion, but my opinion stinks just like everybody else's. But the Bible, it points these things out. It's saying they're standing without. It says in Psalm 69, he's become an alien unto my mother's children. Right? So you can gather some information there and say, okay, well, they're not there to hear him preach. The Bible says they're there to speak to him. And so those that are nearest to you, those are the ones that are going to be neglect. You're going to get the neglect from. Not the ones that, they don't hear you all the time. But the ones that are your family, the ones that are your best of friends, those are the ones that really, they're going to be negligent, and they're not going to want to come and hear anything that you have to say. Look at America. Look at the freedoms that we have in this country. We don't have to worry about going to jail for carrying a Bible around. We have freedoms to gather together in big groups. They don't can't tend to do that in China. They'll think that you're all going to overthrow the government. That's why they don't have big churches over there. People have to meet in houses. Because over there, you have more than 20 people and the government gets afraid. And that's why they won't let them do that. They'll let them have churches over there, government-type run churches, but not privately run. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what you're saying. But over here, we can do whatever we want. We can say whatever we want up here. And yet, when it comes Sunday morning, how many of those that have opportunity, right, that they don't come? How many people do? We all have opportunity to get up and come to church, and how many of us don't? Now, how did anybody know that his mother and brethren were there? How did they know they were standing without, desiring to speak with him, right? Unless they interrupted somebody and let their request be made known. If they didn't say anything, they never spoke anything to anybody, then everybody would have just assumed that they were there to hear Jesus speak. But they're interrupting as Jesus is speaking. They're interrupting, letting their requests be made known to people that are there to hear Jesus speak. And so, have you ever been in a situation where you're witnessing to somebody? And you're there with a couple people or whatnot, and all of a sudden, there's an interruption from the guys that you're there with. The people that you're there with that are supposed to be helping prevent those interruptions from happening, and they're the ones interrupting. Something to think about. And it goes to show that we're often met. We are often met, especially when we're doing the Lord's work. We're often met with hindrances and obstructions that pop up while we're doing the work of the Lord. And 9 times out of 10, they're by family and friends. Go ahead. I've done it. Hey, we've all, until you really start thinking about what you're really doing and how you're affecting God's service. Hey, you know, new Christians, they don't know. They have to be told. They have to be instructed and taught not to do those things. We don't know. You don't know what's going on when you're a new Christian. You just don't. But there should be some upbringing in America's in the houses of America that you're not to interrupt people, especially if they're on a certain subject, right? And we've lost that. That's been long gone. But that goes to show you. Now go with me if you would to Luke. Luke 2:49. I think that's it. Yeah. We're going to start reading here in verse 41. This is Jesus' parents. We'll start at 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. How many times have we forgot our kids? Huh? I don't have any, but I'm listening to a story of my sister's the other day, and my sister Erin said that she was supposed to pick up Brogan from school, and she got caught up in thinking that somebody else was supposed to pick him up that day or whatnot, but anyway, she got a call. I think I forget from who, but she got a call and said, "Hey, Brogan's still here." And she goes, "Oh," so she ran over there and picked this kid up. And this kid comes out with a big old smile on his face, and he gets in the car and he says, "Mommy," and she goes, "Yes, Brogan." She goes, "We can forget all about this if you buy me a cheeseburger." But it happens. It happens. People get forgetful. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in life, in the world, and those things happen. But anyway, we'll go back to reading this. But they, supposing him to have been in company, went back a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" You're probably thinking, "You're the one who forgot me." But anyway, "Why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" So here you have Joseph and Mary backstepping to find Jesus after they noticed that they left without him. Now, what could have been so important that his mothers and brothers his mother and brother needed to talk to Jesus, to talk to him about, that they would interrupt people from their listening to him, right? What could have been so important? And why would they do that? Why would they do that? When Mary had already gone through this once before. when Jesus was 12 years old. And here's Jesus going about his father's business, speaking to these people out of the house. And there's going to be an interruption amongst the people, and people know that they're there to speak to him, right? By the way, in the RSV, if you were to try to find this verse in Matthew, Matthew 12, is it 47? Yeah, if you try to find that one, you're not going to find it there. You won't be able to because it's not there. Verse 48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? Now, here's a little side note. Nowhere in the Gospels do you find Jesus Christ addressing Mary as his mother. Nowhere. He always addresses her as woman. Now, folks, Jesus, he practices what he preaches here. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew 10, a couple pages back, Matthew 10, 37. The Bible says, verse 36, And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Okay? And also in Luke 14. Luke 14. Yeah, 14, 25. And there were great, 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. All right? And so what Jesus is teaching here, when he asks these questions, he's asking, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 48. Who is my mother? What he's teaching here is that when we regard our relation, right, more than Jesus, when we have regard and it comes in competition, when we have regard to our relations and it comes into competition with Jesus Christ and with the duties that we're to perform for Him and our duties to God, those duties and our service to God have to have prerequisite, right? They have to have prerequisite. You have to prefer those over your own. You can't go to your family and neglect God. You have to do God's stuff first, and then family. That's what Jesus is going to teach here. That's what he's teaching. And so if we're the ones being hated, folks. If we're the ones being hated for Christ's sake, then we as Christians, we have to realize that Christ and His cause comes before, right? It comes before us. And we shouldn't think wickedly of somebody or illy of some in an ill manner of somebody just because they're choosing to do God's will over your will, right? Even if you're sitting there, you go up to talk to them and they want to do God's will and they're not giving you the time of day because they're trying to get God's stuff done. We shouldn't be thinking wickedly of the person, even as a Christian. And so, because we're not getting pleased. The person's trying to please God. And so rather than we trying to please ourselves, We should deny ourselves, as the Bible says, and our own satisfaction, rather to do anything that would divert or distract the people around us, right? Especially the hearers that are hearing God's words. And so that's what he's teaching here. He's teaching here that, hey, just because I have a human mother and I have human brothers, if they're not going to stand there, if they're not going to believe on me, if they're not going to trust in me, he asks the question, who are they? Who are they? He doesn't even recognize them. They're standing without the house. God doesn't recognize somebody, whether you're related to him or not, whether Mary's Jesus' mother or whether his brothers are there, he doesn't recognize them. He doesn't recognize them. It only matters that you believe on the Son. And right now, I don't believe that they're believing on the Son right now, because he doesn't recognize them. It's not until later. And maybe they're there and they realize that Jesus didn't recognize them here and they heard what he said. Maybe that's why they're there. And maybe that's why this is brought up. Because his brothers don't come to Jesus till later on. They don't come to Jesus till later on. Verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. That's how you know he's rejected. He hasn't even noticed his mother and his brothers. He hasn't noticed them by his words. He notices his disciples. They ask him a specific question. And he notices, he says, this is my mother, this is my brethren right here. Why? What has his disciples done? You got to go back and analyze what they've done. Have they left all and put Jesus first? Have they left their fathers? Have they left their mothers? Have they left their wives? Peter had a wife. How does that apply to us today? Hey, have you left your mom and dad's beliefs to follow Jesus? Did you leave your brothers and sisters' thoughts about the King James Bible? Have you left your thoughts to trust in Christ? That's how that applies today. Have you believed what the Bible says? Have you left everybody else's opinion about the Bible? And have you read it for yourself? Do you believe the words of God yourself? The disciples did. They left all. That's what the Bible says. They chose Christ over their fathers. They chose Christ over their mothers and wives. And they followed Jesus Christ. And they trusted. They were trusting in him. Now, you can throw Judas in here too. At that time, Judas did the same thing. Now he falls later, but at the time he was following. Verse 50, the Bible says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now notice, came unto his own received him not. The end of the book of chapter 12 of Matthew. It's whosoever. He's getting onto a personal. He's going to start getting into a personal thing. Instead of dealing with the nation, he's going to start dealing with the individual. The Bible says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. So what is the will of the Father? What's the will of the Father? Go with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter, you ever notice that? when somebody gives you a verse, they'll say 2 Peter, and then they'll turn to it, and then they'll give you the other part. You ever notice that? I wonder if it's so that the preacher or the teacher can get there first. I just thought of that. I don't know. I just threw that out there. 2 Peter 3:9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Folks, you can find out the will of God by finding out what's not His will. All right? And that's, it's not His will that any should perish. So it's His will that all should come to repentance. All right? And that's what, that's His will. And that's for everyone. And that's the will of the Father is for everyone to receive the Son. 1 John 1:9. We all know the verse, but I'm going to read it just in case. Yeah, John 1:9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so, the will of the Father is that you'll live, that you won't perish, and that you'll have life. And this life is in the Son. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And this is, folks, in any dispensation. In any dispensation. So we see Jesus Christ doesn't recognize his mother or his brother. He doesn't. God is not a respecter of persons. If his mom, his earthly mom, and his earthly brothers don't come to Jesus, they're going to miss out on eternal life. That's what he's trying to teach here. He's trying to teach, I'm going to notice those that do the will of my Father. I'm not going to notice people because of their standing in life. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your words, and thank you for giving us a copy of them, and thank you for the truths that are found therein. And Father, you have the ability to hide truth from us if our hearts aren't right. But you reveal truth unto your servants, the prophets, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would just be servants, servants for you, and have a right heart to receive your truth, and that it's not a blinding thing. If our hearts aren't right, we're not going to get it, Lord. And you're going to show us that in the next chapter. And we pray now, Lord, for the services this afternoon, that you would just bless the hearers and bless those that are teaching it. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.